Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve is Wimbledon tennis. The prestigious Grand Slam tournament gets underway Monday, and many of the world's top players are warming up at grass court events in England.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Francis Tiafoe warmed up for Wimbledon Thursday when he played an exhibition match against Serbian star Novak Djokovic in London. Djokovic has won the last four men's singles titles at Wimbledon, and he's seeking a record-extending 24th major title. He defeated Tiafoe in three sets in the exhibition. Novak Djokovic is seeded second at Wimbledon, with 20-year-old Spanish star Carlos Alcaraz getting the top seed. For his part, 25-year-old Francis Tiafoe is seeded 10th among the men at Wimbledon. On the women's side, Polish star Iga Świątek is seeded number one at Wimbledon. Like Djokovic, she's coming off a championship performance at the French Open earlier this month. Arina Sabalenka of Belarus is seeded second among the women. And Tunisian star Ons Jabeur, who was a finalist at Wimbledon last year, is seeded sixth overall. Meanwhile, after lifting his record 23rd major trophy in Paris, Djokovic was asked by a tennis reporter, how does it feel to be the greatest male player in history?
Well, thank you. I mean, I don't want to say that I am the greatest because I feel it's a... I've said it before, it's disrespectful towards all the great champions in different eras of our sport that was played in a completely different way than it is played today. So I feel like each great champion of his own generation has left a huge mark, a legacy, and paved the way for us to be able to play this sport in such a great stage worldwide. So I leave those kind of discussions of who is the greatest to someone else.
Novak Djokovic talks about legacy and leaving a huge mark. Well, Darren Taylor tells us about a South African woman who is leaving a huge mark and who will compete in Wimbledon's wheelchair tennis competition.
Game seven.
Didier de Groot's dominance in the sport of women's wheelchair tennis is indisputable. The Dutch woman has been world number one in both singles and doubles for years. De Groot is a 33-time major champion, winning 17 titles in singles and 16 in doubles. Hotazo K.G. Monjane's path has been very different. The current world number 8 has made 5 Grand Slam finals since she began her career at the age of 19 and lost them all. Still, she's immensely proud of her achievements.
I joined wheelchair tennis in 2005 while I was doing matric at school. You know, I was forced into the sport, actually. I enjoyed playing wheelchair basketball and table tennis, but I was just forced into the sport because it was the new sport on the blocks. Every school wanted to have representatives. So at my school, they just, you know, because you do everything, just go, go, go. First time I picked up the racket, I don't know, I fell in love with the sport.
Monjane was born with congenital disease.
When I was still in the womb, the embryo got damaged and attached itself to some of the body parts, so it hindered development in some of the body parts, like my leg wasn't well developed, some of my fingers not well developed, my right leg not, like it doesn't look like a normal leg.
Monjane, however, considers herself lucky, as her parents always believed in her and enrolled her in a special needs school from the age of 6. There, Teachers and therapists helped her believe she could go far in life and that she wasn't really disabled at all.
That made me better as a person, and it made me settle very well in that environment. And I mean, the school I went to, that's where I really, you know, settled very well, and I was introduced to this different sporting code, and that's why I'm here with you today.
In 2018, Montjane became the first Black African woman to qualify for all four Grand Slams and to play at Wimbledon. But sponsorship funds were so tight that she had to leave her coach behind in South Africa. There wasn't enough money for two air tickets to London.
Going into Wimbledon, I thought it was going to be my last tournament. So I had to go in to make the most out of it. I went into Wimbledon thinking I just want to have a good experience because I never played on grass before. I didn't even have good preparations on grass. I only played the day before. I didn't go there with the intentions of winning first round because I never played on grass. So,
amazingly, having only had a few hours of practice on grass and without a coach, Montjane reached the semi-final. Although she lost, she says the 2018 Wimbledon journey saved her from retiring early.
You know, it opened up doors for me as an individual athlete. After the whole Wimbledon story, when people hear my story, I had a couple of people who were interested in helping me out to get to the U.S. Open.
That was last year when she lost the U.S. Open quarterfinal to her friend and doubles partner, Yui Kamiji of Japan. It was another setback, Montjane acknowledges, but this year she's ready to fight again. She says every time she pushes herself onto a court, she's convinced she's going to win. As she puts it, if I don't believe in myself, who will? For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thanks, Darren. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to KG Montjane, who recently won her first Grand Slam championship at the French Open in Paris. KG teamed up with her friend, Japan's Yui Kamiji, to win the French Open wheelchair doubles title in Paris.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Well, hey, sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ann O'Neill, a former Division I academic and athletic All-American basketball player and WNBA player, presently a coach with the Jordan Wara Foundation. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ann. In African men's football, one of our big stories during the month of June was the retirement of Ghanaian star Asamoah John. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Yawafusu Larbi looks back on John's career. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana's greatest ever striker, Asamoah John, has retired from the game after an illustrious career that spanned 20 years. He leaves as a legend of the Ghanaian game with a ton of goals for the national team and a truckload of memories. John announced his retirement at a forum in Accra.
It's time to tell everybody I've officially retired from football.
Oh!
And very, very emotional, as he said. It's a
very, very difficult moment. It's something that you love, something that you've done since your childhood, and then living it at this moment. And I'm very happy. I'm very happy to use this platform. And it's official right now. All the journalists, everybody.
Asamoah Gyan is an enigma. Many players have incredible club careers as opposed to what they do for their countries. Gyan's was a reverse. He was an important figure for the Black Stars. He scored goals, lots of them, finished as a record goal scorer for the national team with 51 goals, Africa's greatest scorer at the World Cup with 6 goals, and won many other accolades to go with them. At the World Cup, he was the X factor for Ghana. He always made an impact and was an incredibly huge figure. His goal against the United States of America has a place in World Cup folklore.
American defence to deal with, and Asamoah Gyan has scored! A wonderful volley goal, yet another one from the danger striker, and the USA are in trouble again.
Every player has that one year where they do incredibly great things, are on top of their game, and brimming with confidence. In Jan's case, 2010 was that year. He led Ghana to the Africa Cup of Nations final, where the Black Stars lost to Egypt before leading them again to the World Cup. He scored 3 goals in that World Cup, but he is best remembered for this.
Asamoah Gyan has the opportunity to send Ghana into the semi-finals of the World Cup. And he hits the bar!
That miss has defined his career in many ways. It was Jan's sliding doors moment. He admits that it was a tough time, but has taken it in his stride.
Honestly, I haven't watched the game. You know, I always go back and then watch the penalty. You know, that is the only thing I watch. People even tag me. You know, I have to just watch it and then just shake my head. You know, I wish we could go back again and then have that penalty, but life goes on. You know, there are a lot of great players who have missed a crucial penalty, like what I did, you know. But as I always say, life goes on. You know, honestly, I always watch it all over and all over again, and it's something that I will never forget.
He started his international career as a 17-year-old in 2003 when he came on as a substitute in a game against Somalia. At that time, his brother Bafour was a Black Stars player and helped him through settling in as a teenager. His first tournament's goal was hugely significant. It came against Czech Republic at the World Cup in Germany in 2006.
Czech was taking no chances at all. Appiah, and an opening here for Ghana, who score early on. Gyan is on target.
He scored in every tournament he played in, except the AFCON in 2019 in Egypt. His most prolific tournament came in 2010, where he scored 3 goals at the Africa Cup of Nations, knocking host Angola and Nigeria to reach the final. Since then, he was limited to a goal or two at every tournament, and a fair dose of near misses and intense criticism dogged his international career. He opened the scoring at Ghana 2008 and then threatened to go home after criticism of his goal-scoring form intensified. In 2012, he missed a penalty in the semi-final of the Africa Cup of Nations and then took time off international football. In 2015, he watched on as Ghana lost on penalties to Ivory Coast in the final of the Africa Cup of Nations. There has been good times and bad times for the striker, but he is leaving as a true legend of the African game. Former management member of the Ghana Football Association, Fred Papu, says he has written his name in history.
Well, I think he'll be among the greatest of the greats. He should be up there. I think he should be up there with the biggest that we've had as a nation. And I would say it's a blessing that Ghana had a player like a personality like Asamoah Gyan.
Ghana's explosive striker has hung up his boots. The sun has certainly set on a beautiful career. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. We'll be right back. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. More tennis news. Former world number one Caroline Wozniacki says she is ending her retirement after more than 3 years away from the sport. Wozniacki wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "Over these past 3 years away from the game, I got to make up for lost time with my family. I became a mother and now have two beautiful children I am so grateful for. But I still have goals I want to accomplish." The 32-year-old Wozniacki, who is from Denmark, first ascended to the number one spot in the Women's Tennis Association rankings in 2010, and she held the top ranking on and off throughout 2011 and into 2012.
Hello, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me on Press Conference USA for an important discussion on the heartbreak and aftermath of the April 14, 2014 abduction of 276 schoolgirls from their dormitory in Chibok, northeastern Nigeria. My guest is Dr. Aisha Mohammed Oyebode. She's a human rights activist and author of The Stolen Daughters of Chibok. Join us this Saturday and Sunday for a special Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.
On Tuesday, the 4th of July, Americans celebrate Independence Day, the most patriotic celebration of the year. What does your country's National Day mean to you? Call us on WhatsApp and let our audience know how you feel about that day. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.
Sporty greetings. This is Namhla Mphelo, media officer of Banyana Banyana of South Africa. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Namhla Mphelo and Banyana Banyana of South Africa are looking forward to the Women's World Cup football tournament, which kicks off July 20th in Australia and New Zealand. Now, the South African women are making their second Women's World Cup appearance. They were eliminated at the group stage at the 2019 World Cup in France. We'll hear from South Africa's head coach now in this extra spicy sports package from Samson Omale. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa's sport highlight for this weekend with the 2023 Women's World Cup. Africa will be represented by Morocco, Nigeria, South Africa and Zambia at the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand. With the FIFA Women's World Cup less than a month away, African countries going to the World Cup have stepped up their preparations. Banyana Banyana is in the tricky Group G alongside Sweden, Argentina and Italy. The aim of the team is to go beyond the group stages when they participate in their second World Cup in a row. Banyana Banyana coach Destry Ellis says their focus now is to fine-tune their game plan for the tournament.
Not conceding set pieces, not conceding early, making sure that when we win the ball, what we're going to do, because that's some of the things that we've been working on, and making sure that when we get a goal-scoring opportunity that we actually put it away, because if you look back at 2019, we could have gone 2-0 up after half-time, and the game might have turned out differently, and the margins are that small, and football has gotten better. So we also need to be better in certain areas.
Another side going to the World Cup is Zambia, and the Zambia women's national team striker Regina Chanda says the Copper Queens have shown signs of improvement, and the next friendlies against Switzerland and Germany on the 30th of June and 7th of July will be an opportunity to showcase their learnings.
The camp is going good, and for us, for the training sessions, we are really working hard for us to compete in our second game. Yeah, it's really big, and for us to compete with other players, it's very difficult. Very important for us, for the Switzerland game, we need to win that game because we had a lot of chances in the previous game, so we need to win the other game. The German game is very hard for us. We haven't met them yet, but we have obviously watched them play. And our role is to make sure we need to work hard on the German game.
Coach Bruce Mwape says he will name his squad after the two friendly games.
On this trip to Switzerland, I think our mission is, as usual, we are actually preparing for the World Cup. So we'd also would like to see more players get involved in these friendly games. The last game, we used the Posco team. But this time around, we'll try and see if we can look at other players apart from the ones that started in our first game.
Sport greetings. This is Bruce Mwape, the head coach of Zambia's national women's football team, the Copper Queens, and you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In Nigeria, the situation is, however, different, as the Super Falcons coach, Randy Waldrum, has lashed out at the Nigerian Football Federation over team selection, unpaid bonuses, and the absence of his assistant. The Super Falcons opened their 2023 World Cup campaign on July 21st against Olympic champions Canada in the difficult-looking first-round group that also has host Australia and Republic of Ireland. Coach Waldrum said he is concerned that his squad is not prepared the way they need to be, pointing out the lack of support he and the players have experienced in working with the Nigerian National Football Federation.
I know we're not prepared the way we need to be, and been very frustrated in recent months, and in particular in recent weeks, with the Federation and the lack of support we've gotten in so many different levels. And what I've had to really kind of do is backtrack my plan. And now really for these 10 days, we'll have to focus on just one or two key big picture items that we want to do well.
And on to netball. The Netball World Cup is barely 28 days away, and South Africa Proteas and Uganda She Cranes are gearing up to make lofty impact at the world stage. Uganda placed sixth at the last tournament after getting knocked out, and they will be targeting to better their performance when this year's tournament throws off in Cape Town, South Africa from the 28th of July. Irene Nyaru, captain of the She Cranes, says the current team is more determined and has the quality to better their performance.
I see there's a lot of improvement, there's a lot of aggressiveness, there's a lot of seriousness in that team, because though they are only like 29 days which are remaining, but for us still, like we see, we are very ready, because we have seen like we have really done a lot right from the time when we started the training. The team is very fit. We are organized, let me say, mentally, physically, and spiritually, we are very ready.
Another member of the squad is Farida Kondondi, who is not unaware of the tough opposition that awaits them in South Africa.
The She Cranes are a big team, and those teams come to compete with whichever country hears that are going to play against the She Cranes. They really feel like, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be intense game. And for us, the players, we believe in ourselves.
Elsewhere in South Africa, hosting the Netball World Cup may add some extra layer of pressure on the host, the Proteas. But for defender Shadeen Vandermoor, playing at home comes with so many advantages.
You know, the feeling is surreal. The fact that the Netball World Cup will be hosted in South Africa, it just adds an extra laugh to the game, because you get the opportunity to play in front of a home crowd, and our crowd in South Africa is the best, by the way. And, you know, having your friends and family coming and to support you, it's just a special feeling, because they've seen your Netball journey throughout the years, and now getting the opportunity to play on a home ground and just being able to know where the Protea badge with honor and pride.
And now to athletics.
Approximately 1 month before the start of the Francophone Games in Kinshasa, DR Congo is now racing against time to be ready. Some media reports say the country appears not to be ready to host the much-coveted competition, hosting mostly French-speaking nations. The director of the National Committee of the Francophone Games, Isidore Kwanja, denied such claims and confirmed the event should be able to go ahead. The 9th Francophone Games are scheduled to take place from the 28th of July to the 6th of August in the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and more than 3,000 young athletes and artists from some 40 countries are expected to take part in the event, which mixes sporting and cultural competition.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The organizers of this year's Nairobi City Marathon will monitor the quality of the air on the Nairobi City Marathon route all through the duration of the race on Sunday as more elite athletes registered. Athletics Kenya, under the United Nations Sports for Culture Action, have installed 9 air quality sensors along the route that will indicate if the air athletes are breathing is permissible in competitive sports. International distance runners Edwin Kipto and Ethiopian Haile Mekonnen are the latest elites to enter this year's Nairobi City Marathon. Jackson Tuwe, Athletics Kenya president, described the Nairobi City Marathon as the richest road race in Africa.
We want to make this marathon one of the biggest marathons in the world. You have heard about the prize money. You have heard about the route, how it's going to take place and so on. There are very few routes where you run on an expressway like this one. We are also proud that the government has actually done this development of coming up with an expressway, which is another attraction.
Athletics Kenya president Jackson Tuwe hoping to attract more and more of Africa's and the world's best distance runners to the Nairobi City Marathon. And thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy package of African sports highlights. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the June 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I want to wish all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners a pleasant and sporty weekend ahead. Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.